Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi is in chapter 7 of Bava Metzia, finishing up the chapter with Mishnayot Yud and Yud Aleph today. Remember, we were talking about the worker's right to eat produce, a Torah-granted right. We mentioned yesterday that guards, you know, watchmen on a field aren't entitled to eat, but the custom was they do, depending on the place. And the Mishnah turned to describe the four shomrim and what situations constitute onus, an unavoidable situation where the shomer would not be liable if something bad happened to the animals or produce, etc., he was watching. Let's pick it up. Mishnah Yud, Meitza Kedarka. If an animal that was being watched died normally, Hareze Onus. It's an onus. He doesn't pay for that. Sigfa, if he afflicted the animal, for instance, had him, you know, didn't give him enough food, not enough water, or left him out in the sun or in the cold, Meitza, Eino Onus. That is not considered unavoidable. The shepherd or the shomer, the custodian in this case, was basically negligent with this animal and would have to pay for it if it died. Alto l'roshei tzukin, if the animal went up by itself to the top of a cliff, the edge of a cliff, v'nofla, harezei onus. That would be an unavoidable issue. Obviously, if the shepherd tried to chase the animal and couldn't get to it in time, then that's what we're talking about. If the shepherd just sat there and let the animal go up into a dangerous place, that he would be liable. And also, hell, while the rosh tzukim, if the shepherd took the animals to the edge of a cliff, v'nofla meta en onis, and one fell down the cliff. This is not a seer mishalech. This is not a seer of the ozzes. I'm talking about throwing a goat off a cliff on purpose. We're talking about a shepherd who's being negligent in bringing the flock next to a steep cliff. And that would not be considered onus. The shepherd would have to pay for that. Motnei shomer chinam. Now the Mishnah turns to another situation relevant to the custodians. A shomer can be motnei, can make a condition, liot pater mishavua, to be exempt from making an oath. Veshoel liot pater mishalom. The shoel, a borrower, before he does the borrowing, can make it on condition he won't have to pay if something goes wrong. No se socher v'socher. And a paid custodian or a renter, liot patorin mishvul l'sholem, they can make a condition before their custodianship begins that they will be patur, they will not have to make an oath or have to pay. The Rav Bartner explains here is what's going on is before they get the item, before they do a kinyan or receive the item into their possession, they're making a condition that they're not going to have the normal level of liability that such a shomer has. And obviously the owner of the animal, the item, is accepting their waiver of liability. You know, you always have to read the fine print on these things. No one actually reads the fine print, but that's what they're doing basically, is waiving liability on all those, the paperwork and the fine print. So that's what's going on in this Mishnah. Now, Mishnah 11, since we mentioned making conditions, Mishnah 11 explains, Kol hamotne olma shekatu b'Torah, somebody who makes a condition against what is clearly written in the Torah, tanau batal, the condition is wiped out. Of course, regarding the last Mishnah, when the would-be shomer says, yeah, I'll be a shomer on condition I'm not making a shvua, he's effectively saying he's not becoming the shomer chinam that's described in the Torah. He's not agreeing to that. It's not like he's saying the shomer chinam doesn't have to make a shvua. That's clearly in the Torah. Everyone knows that. Now, this in the Gemara, they explain this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you can't make any conditions against what the Torah says. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says if it's simply a monetary financial stipulation, then you could. And the famous example we discussed back in Ketuvot, we were talking about getting married, and the marriage contract is the Torah requires the husband to provide sher kesut ona, which includes food, clothing, attention, time, intimacy. And Rabbi Yehuda over there says they could make a stipulation, an agreement. The husband and wife could agree that she's going to buy her own food and clothing, and the husband's only on the hook for the emotional, psychological, spiritual, and intimate aspects of the marriage. It's not nothing, it's a lot, but you know, if she's making a lot of money and she doesn't want to be supported by him, they can agree to that condition, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir would say the husband can't do that. He's required by the Torah to feed and clothe his wife. Regarding conditions generally, the Mishnah now adds, Kol tanai sheyesh maisei betchilato tanai batal. Any condition where the action comes first, the condition is invalid. And the example given is someone says, I'm giving you this car as a gift if you go walk 10 miles. Now, the action he wants, the walking, is after the actual giving of the gift. So the condition is gone. He would have to say, if you walk 10 miles, I'm going to give you this gift. That would be a valid condition. The Rambam has another understanding of this. Rambam Pirush Mishnayot seems to say that it's the action, like the giving of the kedushin, like they're about to get married, and the husband makes some sort of stipulation, let's get married on condition that we, you know, that you pay me 100 apples. And then he gives the ring, then that would be a valid condition. But he says, let's get married, gives the ring, and he says, on condition, Rambam would say that would be the invalid condition, but other Rishonim argue on that understanding. Finally, the Mishnah adds, kol she'efsharlo lekaimo b'sofu, anything you can fulfill, finally, you can actually, it's possible to fulfill, v'hitni alav mitchilato t'nayo kaim, and you make the stipulation in the beginning, this is a valid stipulation. Meaning, if something's actually impossible to do, for instance, the husband tells the would-be wife, here's your kiddushin, let's get married on condition you can fly me to the moon. Now, they didn't have spaceships back then, so fly me to the moon, or let's go up into heaven together. He's just being cute. That's not actually a condition. They're actually really married. He's given her the ring or the item of value. But the condition is, it's just him being cute or trying to bother her or trying to be silly. So we consider that as meaningless. Yishar kochachem, tizkulim mitzvot.